Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message titled, Honoring God in My Work, from Scripture found in Genesis 3, verses 17 to 19, and Colossians 3, verses 22 to 24. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
What a privilege and a joy to welcome you to God's house on this Sunday morning, Labor Day Sunday morning, as we have come to worship and praise our Heavenly Father, our Creator, and to praise His Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, a Trinitarian God. And what a privilege that He knows us by name and has invited us here today to lift up His name and to praise Him. If you're visiting with us today, we're really glad you're here. We hope that you're blessed through this service, that the Spirit touches your heart as only He can. We invite you to stay for a time of fellowship right after the service. You know, at 8th Reform, coffee and cookies are always on the house. And so right through those doors, and on the way to the coffee and cookies, there's also a guest book. And if you'd be kind enough to sign that, name, address, phone number, really helps. And we would love it if you would be willing to do that. And if you need a place to sit down to be more comfortable, to enjoy your coffee and cookies, the choir practice room, we call it that, right across from me, still open. In a couple of weeks, that won't be available anymore because they'll be practicing. But so you can still take advantage of it today. And sometimes people say, how come you give all of this every Sunday morning again? I want you to know that almost every week we have visitors. And so I encourage you to look around. And if there's people that you're not sure who they are, make sure you find out before they go home. That they know your name, that you know their name. Invite them to stay for coffee. Have a cookie with them. Find out a little bit about them. Just that's the gift of hospitality. And the longer we're together, the more we get our own little groups. And we just think everybody knows everybody. That's not necessarily true. So I encourage you just to have an open eye. And if you see somebody, you think, oh, I don't know who they are. Even if they're not visiting, I think you should go and say, I don't think I know who you are. Let's get to know each other. So just a little PR announcement there. Then for all of us, all those who join us via Jethro Radio, we greet you. We say good morning to you. We're glad we can connect in this way. We hope you're blessed through this service. And then other folks join us on the internet, jethro.fm. We're also on YouTube, and that's been a wonderful addition. Get lots of feedback on that people enjoy watching on YouTube and feel like they're here with us. And then some folks still get the CDs later, and that's great too. And what we also want to do is invite everyone who joins us electronically but would be able to join us in person. Consider this your personal invitation. Come and be part of our church family Sunday mornings. We meet live time, 9:30. We're right on Burton Street, just west of Clyde Park. We can't really miss us. We're a big building. And love to have you come in and be part of our church family. And then I have a couple of announcements. This Wednesday, September the 3rd, I know some of you have been waiting for this all summer. Coffee and donuts are going to be back. So 9:30 Wednesday morning, and usually says it goes to 10:30. I know sometimes it goes to 11:30, but it's a social time. So just come and be part of that and enjoy a time of fellowship. And if you're kind of new to 8th Reformed, it's a wonderful way to get to know more people in a real familiar setting, a real hospitable atmosphere. And then the potluck, which was scheduled for next Sunday, September the 7th, that's been moved to the 14th. So that's going to be 2 weeks from today instead of a week from today. I just encourage you to put that on your calendar. And maybe you've just been here once or twice. Maybe you're listening on Jethro. That'd be a good Sunday to show up. The meal is catered. If you're able to bring either a salad or a dessert, that's wonderful. If you can't, that's okay too. There's always plenty of food. And the big part really is the hospitality. So just put that on your calendar and look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks for that. And then this is the final day for the Faith Challenge. We just celebrate your generosity and the way that the Voice of the Martyrs, the Gideons, and the Salvation Army have been blessed. And we appreciate your giving, and that's just a wonderful way to support others that are part of the kingdom of God. And then I'm giving one other announcement, and that's for Wednesday, September the 10th at 6:30. That's Wednesday nights. It's going to be for 12 weeks, a program called Freedom in Christ. And if you've ever had this feeling, I'd like to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. I know that there's got to be more, and I want to experience that. This is the place to come on that Wednesday night. It starts at 6:30. If you have any more questions, just talk to Tim and Sue Takema. They're sitting right up here. Most of you know Tim and Sue, and they'll be happy to answer any of those questions. There is a book that needs to be purchased. It's $13. If you think, oh, that's too much, just come see somebody. You can see me. That's not a problem. We'll make sure you get a book. And there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway, and it would be really helpful if you take a moment to sign that sheet, and it's right across from me here on a little shelf there. Let's turn to our call to worship. It's from Psalm 90. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God, an eternal God. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. It seems like a fitting passage on Labor Day Sunday. Let's stand and worship our God by singing number 676, O Jesus, I have promised, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 676, 1, 3, and 4.
Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. My soul of thank you.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what a privilege to call you our master, but also our friend. You're our older brother. You're our redeemer. You are our all in all. And that's why we've come to worship you, to praise you, to celebrate who you are, and to be fed by the Spirit to even love you deeper. So, Father, we thank you for this time that we can come as a family and lift up your name. And our prayer is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that this will be really meaningful, that you will be glorified through it, we'll be strengthened by it, and that when we leave here, we'll say, oh, it was so good to be in the house of the Lord. So we want to surrender and dedicate this entire service to your Lordship in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, it's my privilege to welcome Pat Lingram, and she will bring special music this morning. Welcome, Pat. Welcome back, I could say that.
Thank you. It's always good to be here. Just put this little thing on a minute.
Well, once a year I get to come here, which is pretty fun. And Terry asked me to sing a Dolly Parton song, Coat of Many Colors. It's one of my favorite, and I do have a coat of many colors from my mother, too. Back through the years, I go wandering once again. Back through the seasons of my youth, I recall a box of rags someone gave us. How my mama put those rags to use. There were rags of many colors, and every piece was small. I didn't have a coat, it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed those rags together, sewing every piece with love. She made a coat of many colors I was so proud of. And as she sewed, she told the story of the Bible she had read, about a coat of many colors Joseph wore. And then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. I just couldn't wait to wear it. Mama blessed it with the kiss. That coat of many colors my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Well, we didn't have no money, but I was rich as I could be. In the coat of many colors my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches, holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors, I hurried off to school just to find the others laughing, making fun of me. In my coat of many colors that my mama made for me. And I couldn't understand it, for I thought I was rich. And I told them of the love my mama sold every stitch. And I told them all the stories Mama told me while she sewed, how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. Didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see one only is poor if they choose to be. Didn't have no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made just for me. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's very kind. The next one is a song by Jimmy Fortune. The Far Side Bank of Jordan. believe my steps are growing wearier each day. Still there's a journey on my mind. The lures of this old world have ceased to make me wanna stay. My one regret is leaving you behind. I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and go running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. If it proves to be his will and I am first to cross, somehow I have a feeling that will be. When it's time for you to travel, likewise, don't feel lost, for I will be the first one that you see. I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. See you coming, I will rise up with a shout and go running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. In this world we've labored hard to earn a meager fare. It's brought us trembling hands and failing eyes. So I'll just rest here on this shore and turn my eyes away. Till you come and we'll find paradise. I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and go running through the shallow waters, reaching for your.
Thank you, Pat, for that music ministry and for the songs you chose. Just, yes. And based on what you said, we'll look for you again next year.
I hope so. I come every time you ask.
All right. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you. And we appreciate that. And I just want to say a good morning to Noreen, too. And thank you, Noreen, for playing the organ again for us this week. And it's the second time this summer, and we're glad to have you back and just appreciate that. And it's good to have our secretary on the piano. Oh, there she is. And so the musical instruments add a lot to a service. Let me give you a couple of updates on our church family before we come before our God of our congregational prayer. First, we want to remember Robert DeYoung. He's still really dealing with serious health issues. You know, he's getting the was getting radiation and chemo treatments and then got pneumonia. He's been in Blodgett up to yesterday, and then yesterday he was transferred from Blodgett to the skilled nursing home on the East Beltline, hopefully to regain strength, and then he'll make a determination to see how they'll proceed as far as more treatments. And then Jim Verstraat was admitted to Trinity Healthcare Friday, having surgery on his leg even this morning, probably right as we're speaking. There's a wound on his leg that wasn't healing, and so they've decided they need to do surgery. So we want to remember Jim and Sandy and that whole family. And then we rejoice with Dan and Sue Like at their daughter. Remember last week we prayed for their daughter, Lindsay, her husband's Danny, and this little baby, Lainey. And last week was kind of touch and go. There was a time they were afraid they were going to lose the mother and the baby. And so lots of prayers have been answered because Thursday they both got to go home. And they're doing quite well. And the family is so appreciative of all the prayers and just the support and encouragement during which was really a a trying time. And then we want to remember Marv, Marv Nienhuyzen family in prayer. Marv's wife, Pat, passed away last Sunday. Marv resides at the Oaks, and at this point, funeral arrangements are still pending, and that had to do with some family members who are out of town. And so it hasn't been set yet. I checked yet this morning. And then, as many of you know, my oldest sister Hazel passed away last Monday, and we had asked for prayers for her a couple of weeks ago, and we got to see her 2 weeks ago when we were in Canada, and so we were really grateful that we had that time to visit, and that really was a special time. And she passed away last Monday morning. It really was a little bit of a surprise yet that it came as suddenly as it did, but we're reminded that death often comes suddenly, even when we see it coming. And so her funeral will be next Saturday, and we hope to leave for Canada Thursday morning. And my brother and I have the privilege of officiating at that service, which is an honor, but also won't be that easy. But we're glad that we can do that. And so the fall kickoff and the potluck have graciously been postponed from next Sunday to the week after. And I just thank the leadership of the church for suggesting that, and we're just appreciative of that, because we also like to be with you on that Sunday with the fall kickoff and the potluck. So that's why that's postponed to the 14th. And we also want to thank you already for all the cards and all the prayers and the text messages and phone calls, all the kind words that you've expressed. And we certainly have felt that we're being uplifted in prayer. We praise God for that. And thank you, too, for just being a very loving, kind, encouraging congregation. Let's come before our God with our congregational prayer. Lord God, on this Labor Day weekend, we are here to praise and worship you, to seek your forgiveness and your equipping for the journey ahead. Speak to us through the power of your Spirit. Help us to express in our daily life that all of work and all of life is really worship, and that you are Lord of all. Regardless of what you have called us to do or be, we are to work in such a way that you, our Heavenly Father, are honored because we're working for you. So we pray that the labor of our hands, that you would bless that. And we thank you for the task that you have given us. We thank you for employers. We thank you for employees. We pray for those seeking work or working in a place that's not a good fit for them. Would you continue to lead and guide, perhaps close some doors as you open new ones? Father, we come to you too seeking forgiveness. Forgiveness for our sins and our shortcomings. And then we seek a filling in our lives by your Holy Spirit so that we can live God-fearing lives in every sphere of life. Thank you for letting us be your children. Thank you for the amazing thing that you allow us to call you Father, the creator of the universe, and we can call you Father. We pray for those who don't worship you. So many walk their own pathway, which leads to destruction. Save them, Lord, from the evil one, and may they experience the blessing of walking with you. In this world, we're reminded that there's much brokenness. And so we pray for those who are dealing with health issues. And we pray for Tim C., Dave Conrad, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Larry Rudnick, Helen, Ron Osteich, Lynn, Dave Huvelhorst, Dan Like, Emily Dreyer, Betty Holmes, Don Oppenheisen, Joanne Sleeth, Kathy Misiak, Denise, Joyce Dulp, Brian Herwire, Barb Eish, Pam Van Beek, Jim Verstrat, Kevin Harima, Kay DeVries, Robert DeYoung. And then we give you praise, Father, for Lindsay, with Lindsay and Danny Like. And we thank you for the gift of new life in the baby girl, Lainey. And we pray for continued grace on that family. What relief you have given them. We pray for folks who are dealing with emotional struggles, be it dementia, Alzheimer's, depression, anxiety, all those things that just can make life challenging. We think of all those who serve as caregivers. Would you give them special grace, special strength? Thank you for relationships. You're a relational God. You ask us to be relationship one with another. That's why you invite us to come and worship you corporately, to be reminded that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we belong to the family of God. That's why we do things together. Give us joy in doing this and allow us to be a blessing one to another. We pray for your strength for those in nursing homes, homebound, assisted living. This morning we want to remember Ron Lankheed and Judy Vandermeer. Father, would you touch each one of them as only you can. We love it in your word where it tells us your spirit goes places we can't. And we know that. We've experienced that over and over. But we're so thankful that you can touch hearts that we feel are just close to us. So would you pour out your grace on both Judy and Ron. As Don Winald is on hospice care, will you sustain him? And we also pray for strength for Judy and the family. We pray for those who are grieving and ask your presence to comfort the Ninehouse family with Pat's passing. And I pray that too for our own family and Sister Hazel's passing. And Lord, may these upcoming funeral services honor you and strengthen the families. And then we think of all those who are dealing with the loss of loved ones. Sometimes it's years ago, sometimes it's an anniversary day or month. And Lord, the feelings, the emotions can get pretty raw again. We pray for your grace, your strength, your healing touch that brings comfort, that brings the hope. We think of the events of the week and that horrible tragedy in Minneapolis at the Roman Catholic Christian school. We just pray, Father, for grace for those families who are so cast into grief. We're reminded how senseless violence permeates our society. We also realize how cheap life has become. And we also know that many people don't acknowledge that we are created in the image of God, and that's what is the foundation of the sanctity of life. We pray for our nation that's so divided. Prince of Peace, may there be a new spirit of harmony and concordance in our land. Let us not forget the principles we are founded on and that you blessed. May we not lose our freedom of speech or of worship. We know your spirit is always at work, both here and around the globe. Teach us to trust in you, even when things seem dark. We pray this morning for Soong and Amy Kim as they are also in transition in their life and as they work as translators for what are called minor language groups. Would you bless all who serve away from home? We think of the Jansons, the Bruxfords, the Vlassens. Thank you for the support we could give to the Voice of the Martyrs, the Gideons, and the Salvation Army. Help us all always to see that in different ways we can also help to be the arms and the feet of Jesus within the kingdom of God. Thank you for the church. Sometimes we just feel the church is really under attack from without, but maybe even more seriously from within. May she stay faithful to the truth of your word and not compromise with the culture. You and you alone are the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, there's no compromise, there's no alternatives. Your word is so clear on that. Help us to stand on truth. And Father, as the fall season starts, may we use our time wisely. May you be central to how we worship, how we study, and live our lives. Create a hunger to study your word. And in it all, may we see our daily task as a gift and opportunity to honor you through the work of our hands or the gift of speaking. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 690, He Leadeth Me, 690. You may be seated. Dear congregation, Labor Day weekend, 2025, end of summer. School programs underway, college kids leaving again, maybe for the first time. Fall rates go into effect. Some tourist places start to cut back. We've all noticed the daylight has gotten a lot shorter. We think of the fall harvest, closing up the cottage. Summer toys go back in storage. We're preparing for winter. Summer school, our Sunday school starts soon. We'll have the kickoff potluck time. Christmas is coming rapidly. Did I just say that? Tomorrow is Labor Day. And it's kind of interesting. We call it Labor Day, but it's a day not to labor. It's a freebie. And it started in 1880 in New York City. And the purpose was to appreciate and recognize the working people, blue-collar people, working men and women, the ones who are the backbone of our economy. It was to honor labor and to dignify labor, really the work of our hands. Work is a gift. Work is also a mandate from God. And some potential employees are looking for the ideal job. Reaching the end of a job interview, the human resource rep asked the young accountant applicant just out of grad school, "So, what kind of starting salary were you thinking of?" He said, "Well, in the neighborhood of $100,000 a year, depending on the benefits package." Now, the interviewer responded, "Well, what would you think of a package with 5 weeks vacation, full medical, full dental, company retirement fund up to 50% of your salary, executive share option scheme, profit-related pay, hey, and the company car, lease car renewed every 2 years, maybe like a 5-series BMW. The applicant sat up straight and said, "Are you joking?" And the interviewer said, "Yeah, but you started it." We all know it's getting harder and harder to find willing employees. Someone wrote there are four kinds of bones that describe our labor pool. There's the wishbones. They spend their time wishing someone else would do the work for them. And then the jawbones. I'm a little nervous about this one. They spend their time talking but do very little else. The knuckle bones, who knock everything others are trying to do. And then the backbones. They're the ones who shoulder the load and do the work. There's much to say about work, and we all have work stories. And if you're younger, school is actually your work. And then many of you are retired but still engaged in different ways in the workforce. And for others, retirement has become your work. And I think it goes without saying that a woman's work is never done. I thought that would have gotten amen. So, is work a blessing or a curse? Some people love what they do. Others can hardly tolerate one more day of just that daily grind. They dread it. So let's turn to God's Word and just read a little bit about what it says. And we'll turn right to the front of the Bible. It's actually page 5. It's out of Genesis 3, and we'll just read a couple of verses, 17 to 19. Genesis 3, 17 to 19, page 5. Hear the word of God. The Lord speaking. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you'll eat food from it all the days of your life. It'll produce thorns and thistles for you. You'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you'll eat your food. Until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. May God add his blessing to this little portion of his scripture. I know those couple of verses are not new information, but we're reminded that work is part of creation. And then came the fall. When sin came into the world, it affected everything. So, I ask again, is work a blessing or is it a curse? Well, it started as a blessing. It started as a gift. Think about it. When Adam and Eve were, they were tending the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. And by what we just read, you know there were no weeds. I'm sure they didn't even have a hoe. It was just the perfect place to be, to enjoy the bounty and the benefits and the beauty of what God was doing. But with original sin, when sin came into the world, it affected everything, including our work. And we are all called to work. Work is a mandate. The Bible denounces idleness, not working. Matter of fact, the Bible is real clear. Not working, if you are able. If you are able, if you are capable and you are not working, it is a sin. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 puts it this way, Paul speaking, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man does not work, he shall not eat." That's pretty strong language too, and you can read more of this in the book of Proverbs. Very clear. And so, in essence, it's saying no handouts for the lazy. This is not for those who are not capable. This is for those who choose not to. Proverbs 6:6 illustrates what we should use as an example. It says, "Hey, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." And some time ago, we read about a little bit about the ant, right? How it prepares for winter without even having a calendar. But it knows it has to do this every year again. It says, "Look to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." So, how do you feel about your work? How do you feel about it? Do you enjoy it? Do you dread it? Do you tolerate it? If you're working, do you give the boss an honest day's work? If you're an employer, do you give your employees an honest day's wage? Are you a pleasant co-worker? What kind of student are you? Is the teacher glad when you're not there? Do you have any integrity or honesty in how you conduct yourself at work and at school? Questioning really in what you do and how you do it. Because what I do and how I do it says a lot about who I am. Are relationships important to you at work? Are they important to you at school? Based on how you interact with the people that you rub shoulders with, have any interest in the Jesus that you say you belong to? Would there be any interest? Do they know you are a Christ follower at work? How about on the golf course, the bowling alley, when you're fishing, when you're camping? Some time ago, I read a book by Oz Guinness. The title of it was The Call. And this is what he writes. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he puts a call on every part of our life. Not just a little part, like here, I just want 10%, you can keep the 90%, on every part of our lives. True for everyone. And what this means is total surrender to his lordship. Total surrender does not come easy to any of us. It's actually where the rebel in us comes out because we like to hang on and be in control ourselves. I know a lot of times there's distinctions made in people like pastors and missionaries. They're the ones that are in full-time ministry, and then others are part-timers or volunteers, so it's kind of like an add-on. I always want you to know that that's a totally false statement. That's a totally false statement. We are all in full-time ministry. The only difference is some of us, you could say a minister is in specialized ministry. But we are all in full-time ministry. We have individual calls. That's what happens in our daily lives. And then we have a corporate call. That's why we come together. That's why we're part of a church family. There's things we do individually. In our personal life, there's things that we do corporately as a church body. Our individual call supports our corporate call. Why? We are the body of Christ. And our purpose is to work for the coming of His kingdom, to help make that end, that come about. But it's a privilege. It's a privilege that He gives us. When we remember this, it integrates who we are on Sunday with who we are the rest of the week. You ever live in those compartmentalized places where Sunday I do this, I talk this way, I act this way, but then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm like this person? Or do we have a picture of where we're integrated as we are a follower of Christ and this is who I am? This is what my identity is. How do we play this out? Remember about 20 years ago, Rick Warren came out with the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It sold millions of copies. It just flew off the shelf. It was so popular because people were searching for meaning. Actually, everybody searches for meaning and purpose in life. That's one reason self-help books sell so many copies too. Never forget that each job, each task you have is really a call from God on your life. If you want to put it in sports analogy, it's God saying, I'm putting you in the game. And if you talk to a coach, what's the biggest complaint? Coach, you don't play me enough. Coach, put me in. Coach, let me do this. And God is like, hey, I'm calling you in. I'm putting you in the game. And we're like, well, we're kind of busy. I'd rather sit on the bench. When He calls us, it's for a special privilege. And I think He would expect us to be kind of excited just to be called. So in this context, wouldn't it be great if employers were looking for Christian workers? Said, we really like to hire Christian workers because of how they work and how they get along with others. Now, I'm going to use a little example. If you've ever seen the Amish, sometimes they do heavy equipment, like if they're pulling maybe a 4 or 5 bottom plow, that 5 be too much. With horses, they might have 5 horses abreast. And that's quite something just to watch them maneuver that. But many times if they have like 5 horses abreast, there'll be 2 mules in there. And they like the mules. Mules are almost as strong as horses, and they don't eat as much. But the reason they have the mules in there is the mules calm the horses. And that's why the horses pull better when there's 5 abreast. Wouldn't it be something if we could be the mules in the workplace that people said, yeah, I'd like to hire those Christian people. They do something to the atmosphere that has a real calming effect. And maybe it's not just the workplace. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm way past working. There's other places environmentally where you are in your social sphere, you could have that same effect. Or if people desire to work for Christian employers because they are so good to work for. And the basis, the foundation of all of this is because we do it for the sake of our Heavenly Father, our Master Jesus. And so because of Jesus, we are to really work with joy and contentment. Okay? Not to go to work with a grumbling spirit and always complaining, but to find contentment in our work. For that to happen, it is important to seek His will first. You ever think about that when you talk to your kids are grown now, you're dealing with grandkids, and you ask them, so what are you going to do when you grow up, or what kind of job you're looking at? Do you ever start off with, let's pray about where God is leading you, versus, boy, if you could play for the Yankees, that'd be millions of dollars. You should try. Where's our focus? Are we willing to surrender this and turn this all over to God and have him make the decision? Most of the time, the way we do things, we pick and then say, God, will you bless this? Rather than, God, will you pick so you can bless me in doing what you have picked for me? And this is true for young people. This is true for old people. First, seek his will. And that's what Jesus teaches, right? You read the end of Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added to you. And generally, I include myself in this, we're looking at all these other things, and maybe God will throw in the kingdom of God. It really doesn't work that way. As a nation, we have grown accustomed to prosperity and wealth. We have become comfortable people. It's hard to let go of that. We have all kinds of conveniences. Oz Guinness, the same guy I talked about earlier in the book, The Call, says, we have too much to live with. Think about that for a minute. We have too much to live with, and that's stuff. And he says, we don't have much to live for. We don't have much to live for. So for most of us, still quoting, in the midst of material plenty, we have spiritual poverty. Material plenty, spiritual poverty. So answering the call of our Creator is the ultimate reason. The ultimate why for why we're living. So this morning, I invite you to see that you are called by God to do what he has specifically planned for you. You know, we read in Ephesians, the good works God has prepared in advance for you to do. That's specific. That's a mission. That's a calling. Has your name on it. And if you don't respond, then who's going to do it? But that's a real privilege. That's a gift that God gives you, specifically for you. I heard a story yet this week where somebody was talking about a place they work where the employer said, you know what, in all these things, the kingdom comes first, and then the family, and then work. Isn't that amazing? Here's an organization that has it in the right order. They've got it straight. They figured it out. That mindset will liberate you and free you and help you see your labor in a different light, or it'll change what your labor is. Camp Maranatha, a couple weeks ago, I met a young man there. He's 25 years old. He was an engineer, worked for a car company in Detroit. And we were talking about his job and what he did, and he liked what he does, and he's good at it. But he says, you know what my real purpose is? He says, I've got a Bible study going there with people who don't go to church. He's 25 years old, and he says, I see this as an opportunity to reach out to people. He says, I like being an engineer, but this is what I really feeds my soul. It's like, oh man, 25 years old. He's figured it out. So the fathers of the Reformation, okay, they worked hard on this whole concept of the value of work, and it's really based on Colossians 3, 22 and 20 to 24. So we're going to read that, page 1679 in your pew Bible. Colossians 3, verses 22 to 24. And don't let the opening word throw you off, slaves. That would also have included, like, employees. Okay, that was a different, there were bond servants, there were slaves, there were employees, so there's some different connotations. But Colossians 3, verse 22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That's the key line. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. So this passage teaches us that all legitimate work is special from God. So whatever you do, whatever your task is, do it as unto the Lord. Put it another way. If you are building or remodeling buildings, those are the Lord's buildings. If you're driving a truck, you're driving his truck. If you're twisting wrenches, you're working on his transmissions, brakes, or motors. If you're a farmer and you're combining corn, that's his combine and his corn crop. If you clean houses or other buildings, his building, his house. Working in an office or a factory, it's his. Teaching those kids, they are his. Raising your children, they are his. And when you do it that way, you'll work with integrity because you want to do the very best you can, regardless if anyone is watching or not. Because our Heavenly Father is watching. He always knows what's going on. As believers, we are called to give God the glory in our labor, to show we belong to Him, to honor Him in what we do. Our work is not just a separate thing that's just over here compartmentalized. When we're working at school, cleaning houses, trimming orchards, drilling manure, teaching, ushering, serving coffee, delivering parts, working at a car dealership, working in a hospital, a bank, a grocery store, a homemaker, secretarial work, maintenance work, caregiver, or volunteer, we are working in His vineyard. Last Sunday's message, He invites you to work in His vineyard. Did you say nay or yea? But this is what it's all about. We do it to honor Jesus. And you know what the pinnacle of it is? Worship. That is why worship is so important, and how we act in worship, how we participate in worship, how we respect and reverence Him manifests how we give Him the glory in every sphere of our lives. With that mindset, we can say with the psalmist of Psalm 90, which happened to be Moses, and this was part of our call to worship today, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yea, establish the work of our hands. That psalm is a prayer that our lives would have significance, that our lives would have meaning, that our lives would have value. Until He becomes Lord of your life, a lot of things become real minutiae. A quick story. There's a man in town here. He's over in Jenison, Granville area. Dan Nulty. Some of you will know that name. He was a relief pitcher for the New York Yankees in the 90s. And he tells the story that the night they won the world championship, after they'd done their partying and stuff, and there was a chauffeur. They were on the George Washington Bridge. The George Washington Bridge connects New Jersey and New York. He says he asked the driver to stop on that bridge. And he says, you know what? I'm at the pinnacle of life. This is what every kid dreams of. A world championship with the New York Yankees. And he says, I thought, if this is all there is, I don't want to live. And he actually wanted to jump off the George Washington Bridge into the Hudson River and say, why? Fortunately, that didn't happen. And somebody talked to him. And he had been exposed a little bit to Jesus in that a friend of his had invited him to a revival meeting years ago. And so he had some thoughts about that. And at one time, he played here in Grand Rapids for the Whitecaps. And when he retired, he thought Grand Rapids would be a good place to settle. And he's here now, and he's actually starting a church. Because he says, the only thing that has meaning in life is when Jesus is the Lord of your life. And I think it's that there's such power in that message. That the things of earth cannot satisfy. They can temporarily, but never, never long term. So on this Labor Day, let me challenge you based on God's Word. Reassess what you do. Reassess why you do it. Reassess what I do, reassess why I do it, and how do you see God's hand in it? Is God's hand in it? Retired? If you are, but if you can work, or if you're dealing with limitations, ask God. This is a wonderful question to ask God to pray about, but it takes courage to pray to God, how do you want to use me? How do you want to use me? This has nothing to do with if you're 60, 70, 80, 90. Just pray, God, how do you want to use me? What do you want me to do with the time that you are giving me and the gifts that I still have? How do I surrender this to your lordship? Oz Guinness observes that in our culture, there's another danger, namely this. We worship our work. We work at our play, and we play at worship. And that's a dangerous order as well. So, do we need to make changes in our lives so we get our priorities straight? And maybe you're still thinking, well, it's Labor Day, I retired 20 years ago, it has nothing to do with it. If that's what your thoughts are right now, you missed the whole message. This has nothing to do with age or stage of life. This has to do with, will you surrender your time and your talents to your Heavenly Father and let Him have His way with you? How do we make Colossians 3:23 our work-life text, which is, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Never forget that. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, in essence, you hired us. You said, I want you to be part of my family, and I have special tasks for you. And when we surrender to your lordship, you give us real joy. You give us satisfaction. You give us peace and contentment. We still live in a broken world. All that is true. But because we are walking in alignment with your will for our lives, we experience something that the world cannot give us. And we praise you for that. I pray, Father, that you would use this message in any way you see fit. If there's things I said that weren't honoring to you, would you delete them? And then for the rest, would you equip us to respond to surrendering everything to your lordship? As we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 685, Footsteps of Jesus.
Awesome, buddy.
Thank you.
You may be seated. This time the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Pray together. Father, we come to you and we do praise you for everything. We praise you for our jobs. We thank you for gifts and skills and abilities you've given us. And that through that, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that's how you put bread on our table. You give us the privilege of working with and for you and in your vineyard. And as you entrust these things to us, we're also grateful that we can give back. And so these gifts, may they also further your kingdom. And may there be joy in our hearts because we've been allowed to participate in this. We praise you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 721, the first verse, Jesus Never Fails. Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his countenance towards you and grant you his peace, both now and for all of eternity. Amen.
Thank you.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.